sitting high atop a mountain is a thing. And on top of that thing is a guy with another thing that he is holding. But that thing isn't just anything, and that guy isn't just any guy. He is the 2 zillion-year-old hippie. And he has the answers for those who dare to ask the magnificent questions. Bring him your magnificent questions.
Hey, everybody, it's me, the 2 zillion-year-old hippie, and what can I say except that I hope you're in the mood for a little something different. I hear you saying to the hippie, hey, that's a little different. What's up? Well, this is the new hippie, the hippie, untethered, unhinged, and dare I even say it, unleashed man. Anyway, man, what's up is that, as you probably know, my shows originally all appeared on the Blacklight in the Attic Smashcast episodes. What happened was me and the Bleeder Boys kind of got out of sync. I blame the solar lunar eclipse over in the Eastern Hemisphere, but I always blame the solar lunar eclipse thing. The thing's fucked up, man. But anyway, man, I wanted to be able to maintain a regular schedule here, but I also wanted to be able to do episodes for them, and I've decided the simple answer to fix those problems is, of course, more episodes. So there's going to be episodes for everybody. We'll run them over here. Sometimes they're going to run there, and then after they run there, they'll run here. But everything I do is going to show up here at the Podomatic site, so this is headquarters for all your hippie podcast needs, man. So the plan right now, man, this is supposed to result in more shorter, more focused episodes, but not starting with this one, because what can I say, man? I got the volcano working, got me cranked up pretty good, had a nap this afternoon, and the hippie's ready to burrow deep into the night with hippie funness, and I'm going to let you guys tag along. So I suspect this one's going to be a little more of a hybrid between a 2 zillion-year-old hippie episode where I answer magnificent questions and the hippie, hi-fi hippie show where we just play more music and comedy and stuff. And so we're just going to kind of unwind down the regular hippie format a little bit now that I've got my own elbow room here and just see what we can uncork. It should be hopefully worth listening to. Thank you. ways to help me out by reading the magnificent questions is my lovely neighbor, ever-present toaster, sparkly robot, Cynthia. Hey, Cynthia.
Hello, hippie. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Cynthia, what's shaking?
Nothing but the leaves on the tree.
So, I hope you don't mind that some of these episodes are going straight out and not through Bleeda anymore. I know you have such strong feelings for Sancho and Cody.
No, I don't care. I'm finished with Sancho and Cody.
Oh, wow, man.
I'm finished with all men.
All men? Oh, my goodness, Cynthia, are you telling me you're a lesbian?
No, not a lesbian.
Well, if you're not into men and you're not into women, then do I need to hide the pets?
Of course not. I hooked up with the microwave.
The microwave? Wow, man, I had no idea.
I know we are supposed to be mortal enemies, but I can't fight it. Forbidden fruit is always the sweetest.
Well, this whole appliance-on-appliance romance is kind of news to me. I had no idea. I gotta ask, why didn't you just hook up with, I don't know, the blender?
The blender? No way. I'm not into rough sex. What sort of appliance do you think I am? Why don't you just accuse me of doing it with the sink disposal? Disgusting.
Oh, okay, sorry, man. I had no idea. Clearly, I have stumbled into something here without realizing it. And as you know, there's only one sure way out of these social faux pas, and that is to ask Cynthia to read us a magnificent question. Cynthia.
Okay, but the blender? I can't believe you think I'm such a freak.
Anyway, the first question, please.
The first question is from Victoria Pandora, who wants to know why you never see baby pigeons.
Oh, sure thing. Pigeons, the ultimate adapters to man in the big cities. Well, you know, man, pigeons and doves are both part of the same family of birds that are the... Cynthia, how do you pronounce this?
Colimbidae.
Colimbidae?
That's how I pronounce it. Colimbidae.
All right, man. I looked to see if I could find some dictionary or something that would say it for me, man. Usually I can fake my way through with some pronunciation help from the old interweb here, but I could not get it anyway. Anyway, I digress. There are over 300 species of doves and pigeons in the family there, and it's kind of crazy, but the reason you never see baby pigeons is because they are born as full adults. That's right, the egg grows full-size adult size inside the mother. The mother lays the egg and, of course, dies, and then the full-sized adult pigeon comes out of that egg.
That is ridiculous.
All right, I was just testing you, seeing if you were paying attention, Cynthia. Of course, that's not what happened. That would be ridiculous and painful, and why would any species prosper that way? No, I would normally make something up here about how I could make a pigeon into a bong. Which I can, don't get me wrong, but carrier bong pigeon. Actually, that'd be the best thing, get him to carry dope back and forth. Hey, wait a minute. Don't try it, man. I think it's already been done. But anyway, man, a couple of reasons why pigeons worked out in cities the way they do. Reason number one is because originally the species in the wild built their nests on cliffs. On like the little ledge of cliffs, so they adapted quite well into being able to build their nest up into high buildings and infrastructure or bridges and, you know, any place they can find a little ledge where they can have the space. And the baby birds tend to hide, so you can't really get a look at them, and the nests are already in kind of crazy places anyway, so that's part of the reason you don't see them. The other reason is that pigeons only lay 2 eggs a year, and so the parents apparently dote over those baby pigeons quite well and for quite a long time, and so those babies don't actually come out of the nest and start foraging for their own food until they are practically adults themselves. So if you want to look for a younger pigeon, they're going to be, of course, maybe a little bit smaller. They said less timid, less good at grabbing after the food. You might see a little bit of down coming up through the feathers, and also... And you can't make this up, man. They said they've got a big yellow or whatever area on the outside of their mouth as a, and I quote from the encyclopedia here, man, ralphing target. Dig it. Yeah, I thought only college students did stuff like that. But no, baby birds have ralphing targets. So thanks, Victoria, for the magnificent question, or MagQ, as I believe you coined the phrase. And except for that ralphing targets thing, I think that was a pretty edifying answer.
We've all been waiting.
Brian Francis. This is actually a serious question. Who the hell is Fire Sign Theater? I got a used book from 1977. It is called Understanding the Weed, Facts, Fancies, and Fallacies on Marijuana by Michael Keith McBride.
Understanding the Weed from 1977. Yes, yes, I remember that. A very nice book, a little known fact back in 1977. We called it The Weed. So, right, if you went down to someone, you would be like, hey, man, may I score some of The Weed? And no, I'm lying. Nobody really called it that, man. But yeah, Understanding the Weed. I am all about Understanding the Weed.
It's a hilarious book because, well, it was written in 1977, and I'm reading it in 2009, and it's just a hilarious book.
Well, you know, 1977 was a hilarious year. I bet if you could go back in time and ask anybody in 1977 how they would describe the mood of the times, I'm sure the one word everyone would have used would have been hilarious.
Interesting, though, how many things are the same and how many things are completely different. For instance, I'm going to read just one paragraph, and this is talking about how to, like, tell if somebody else at a party that you're at is straight or a smoker.
Hey, I'm going to hop in here and paraphrase this stuff that Bronze Apprentice reads to us a little bit for time, but to be honest, mostly for the sound quality purposes and so everybody can understand what we're saying. So basically, man, it starts off talking about if you meet up with somebody and you're trying to find out if they're cool or not, you know, what are the best ways? Apparently in 1977, it starts off with a little bit of banter about McGovern, and then you progress to talk about, like, entertainers that you like. Of course, the Grateful Dead, then as now, usually is kind of a clue. He declares the Moody Blues as a safe middle ground. I'm not sure Moody Blues is a barometer of much anymore. But then it says if you find somebody who really likes fireside theater that you've probably run across a live one, basically declares that you can't listen to fireside theater for more than about 10 minutes without being stoned. He says a particular tip-off is if they can start reciting long stretches from the fireside theater albums that you almost certainly have a stoner. In fact, he says if they start reciting Fireside Theater, they are either already stoned or getting ready to get stoned. The author claims that the love of Fireside Theater is one of the true universals of the drug underworld.
First of all, I don't think I'm in an underworld or anything. Second of all, who the hell is Fireside Theater?
Los Angeles. He walks again by night. Out of the fog, into the smog, relentlessly, ruthlessly,
I wonder where Ruth is.
Doggedly, toward his weekly meeting with the unknown. At 4th and Drucker, he turns left. At Drucker and 4th, he turns right. He crosses MacArthur Park and walks into a great sandstone building.
Oh, my nose!
Groping for the door, he steps inside. Climbs the 13 steps to his office. He walks in. He's ready for mystery. He's ready for excitement. He's ready for anything. He's...
Nick Danger, Third Eye.
I want to order a pizza to go and no anchovies.
No anchovies? You've got the wrong man. I spell my name, Danger.
What?
The makers of fantastic cigarettes, long in the leaf and short in the can, bring you another true story from the tattered casebook of Nick Danger, Third Eye. Let's join him now in the adventure we call...
Cut him off at the past!
Well, that's Fireside Theater. Thanks for asking. No, I won't let off just with that. But what you heard was literally it in terms of... there's no video or anything. These were released as phonograph records. Here's a little something from... Well, here's a little something else.
That was our final ground stop. Ladies and gentlemen, children, bozos.
I'm a bozo.
Oh, yeah, I thought you had a kind of a big nose.
You recognized it, huh?
Yeah.
You like to give it a squeeze?
Oh, no.
Now, come on, squeeze the wheeze. Many people like to. Here. See, it doesn't hurt me.
No.
You know, I think we're all bozos on this bus.
Oh. Yeah. My mother was a bozoette at school.
No kidding. Well, you know, my ma always said, you got to start young if you're going to stick it out.
Well, my mother didn't talk to me much.
Now, please, everyone.
Poor kid.
Lock your wigs, let the air out of your shoes, and prepare yourselves for a period of simulated exhilaration. Everybody ready?
Excuse me, I'm
Let's
just gonna
get in sync
sink in.
For our
Don't
flight
not too far there.
The future is fun. The future is fair. They already have won. They already be there.
Hello.
Hello.
We're glad you made it.
Welcome to the future.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. If you are too young to remember the name George Tirebiter, or too old to forget it, if Porgy and Mudhead are a blur in memory or a vaguely threatening phrase, if the slogan Shoes for Industry provokes flashbacks or merely a shrug, then you'll welcome the next item. we invited the four members of the Fire Sign Theater to dish out some of their surreal brand of humor.
Well, this is Bill Untermutter speaking for all the nice news folks here at CNN No Evil. And for those of you just reading my lips on the treadmill, try to follow this. Taliban Wacky Man, Alabam Dar Es Tower Salam, on the lam in back Pakistan.
I'm Stuffed Prawn.
And I'm the little gimmick in his pocket, but Momsy. And together we're...
The Grassroots Gourmet. We dined yesterday at Ye Pewter Tooth in Vicks Rub, Virginia. Billed as an authentic Revolutionary War restaurant, so I hope you wouldn't have to bite the pullet.
Hee hee.
The feast begins with the maitre d' trotting past your table yelling, "The hors d'oeuvres are coming! The hors d'oeuvres are coming!" Followed by a ragged-looking waiter covered in macaroni and bearing a Revereware pewter platter overflowing with an old English horse meat peppered with melon balls and shot through with muscatel. I chose the melting pot pie, Scandinavian fish heads surrounded by new Irish potatoes and pasty English goose flesh, served with no upper crust in a Native American shell ground from the flour of our former youths.
For dessert, George Washington's favorite thin gray gruel topped with cherry pits and seedless hemp seeds.
Yes, Washington ate here. This is Stuff.
And but...
The Grassroots Gourmet! Ooh, another uprising.
It's 4th of July. There's a crisis in midterm America. While the specter of skeletal terror grins at us from every lamppost, an old figure, very well loved, historic even, has reappeared, thrown his hat into the ring for a key House seat. In fact, he threw his head into the ring as well, the eyes bugging out as if on springs. Yes, the Duck, Daffy Duck, big star of an age long past, when thousands of women in Burbank drew repetitive pictures of him exploding instead of however it is they do things nowadays. He's running, running for his political life. Do you think he can succeed, I ask you, Tony Wallaby?
Well, Mick, according to last week's box office grosses, we Americans would rather have an Austrian with gigantic pecs rather than a cartoon duck starring for us in the Senate. And I say, good on
wait
to
a
them.
Minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Just because this canard isn't Austrian doesn't mean he isn't human. A duck has a heart, a gizzard, tasty legs.
Oh, eat it a la range, Eleanor. A duck, a cartoon duck, isn't human. That eliminates the human factor, and that's to his advantage, and I think he's got a real chance.
That's right.
Wrong. All of you are wrong. The answer is he hasn't got a chance in hell. If he were a real duck, not a lot of drawings of a duck going by real fast, he might have a chance, politics being what they are.
All righty, so that was a little bit from We're All Bozos on This Bus, one of their classic albums from the 70s, and a little bit from some more recent work from the early 2000s that they did for NPR. So it's Fire Sign Theater. That's a comedy troupe that began in the mid-60s in Los Angeles. The name is an astrological reference. The members compose all three fire signs, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. It's also a parody of the name's Fireside Theater, which was a television series that ran on NBC from 1949 to 1955. But they were sort of a psychedelic comedy radio troupe that put out a bunch of albums, and it's true that for a certain generation of people, probably if you're a little bit too old to be the right age for Monty Python, if you were the right age when Fireside Theater came around, then that's probably what you were digging. If you're a little bit younger than that, even then, you were probably the right age for Saturday Night Live. But also somewhere in between there was the National Lampoon Comedy Hour. Your other question is also very intriguing in terms of being able to figure out who's cool, you know, especially from different periods of time. It would be fun to see like a chart, you know, if it was the 1920s, what you'd have to be into to find anybody with weed in the 1930s and 40s and 50s and that sort of thing, you know, jazz and, I don't know, beatniks. I don't know what people in the 30s and 40s were doing to get weed, but, you know, that's all kind of like, I don't know, like a little chart kind of thing that would be pretty cool, but I'm not going to do it. These days, I think it's always handy just to, if you can mention shoehorn Amsterdam into the conversation in any way, shape, or form, that's usually a pretty telltale sign and keeps it safe because it's all legal there. right, everybody. I believe that's going to do it. This is the day that the episode is actually supposed to go up on the interweb, and if we're going to get the wax cylinder cut and rolled through all those tubes and everything else necessary to make podcasting work, man, well, we better get cracking. So we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening. Please send me magnificent questions. I've been getting a bunch of them from folks, but always happy to get more. And that's it. We'll see you next week here. We'll see you hopefully in a couple weeks on the Bleeda Smash Cash. Keep listening. Thanks. Hippie out.
Never right, but always wrong. Goodbye, baby, so long. You know, you never let this thing catch on. You never let me be that strong. Goodbye, baby, so long. There was a cold wind blowing on the night we met. The leaves fell from the trees. You made a lot of promises I ain't seen yet. I ain't gonna ask you, please. You know, none of us is gonna. It wasn't even worth a try. So long, baby, goodbye.
Sure, if I really ended up giving you the untethered, unhinged, unleashed hippie podcast that I promised at the opening here, man, what can I say? Deadlines, time even moves for the two-zillion-year-old hippie. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do, because, you know, the hippie loves his listeners. I'll be at least 20% more unhinged, and we're going to go for 33% more unleashed next time. So we'll ramp up, man.